In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen. And happy Mother's Day. So let's take the bait. This morning, in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear the story of a woman with two names. Or at least Scripture is careful to note that she is known by two different names. Some call her Tabitha. This is her name in Aramaic, the local language spoken by Jesus and his disciples. Others call her not Tabitha, but Dorcas. This is her name in Greek. Greek is the universal language of the Roman Empire. Two names, Tabitha to some, Dorcas to others. That's rare in Scripture. Probably means something. Curiously, in both languages, the two names have one meaning. Tabitha and Dorcas both mean gazelle. Tabitha is gazelle in Aramaic, and Dorcas is gazelle in Greek. And a gazelle, you might remember, city folks though we are, you might remember a gazelle is a kind of antelope. The gazelle lives in the arid grasslands of East Africa and is known for its grace and speed. A gazelle can run up to 60 miles per hour and will look good doing it. But to the early Christians, the gazelle is also a well-known biblical image. If we roll back the pages of Scripture and we look for that word Tabitha, or that word Dorcas, if we look for the word gazelle, we find ourselves in a very curious place. We find ourselves in the Song of Songs. The Song of Songs, also known as the Song of Solomon, is the great love poem of the Old Testament. The Song of Songs is a conversation back and forth between a husband and his bride. Poems spoken back and forth between one lover and another. And five times, the lovers call one another by this name, gazelle. Full of grace and beauty and swift movement, the gazelle is a term of endearment, a verbal kiss used by the lovers to express their deep affection. Think of the names we associate with love in our language. Names of famous lovers. Romeo and Juliet. Rick and Ilsa there in Casablanca. Jack and Rose on board the Titanic. Scarlet and Rhett. Lancelot and Guinevere. Antony and Cleopatra. Wesley and Buttercup. To the ears of the early Christians, the name Tabitha moves the imagination in exactly the same way. The name recalls for them a poem in the Bible no less, that is full of desire and thirst and hunger for total and complete union with the beloved. In that poem, in the Song of Songs, nothing escapes the attention of those in love. Everything about the beloved is praised and magnified. Everything is honored and desired. Everything from how she looks to the sound of her voice. Everything from the thoughts in his head to the work of his hands. And this same poetic imagination is at work this morning. The evangelist Luke is careful to tell us that Tabitha, this New Testament gazelle, she's really good at what she does for a living. She's a seamstress. And at her funeral, friends gather and bring garments made by her, beautiful garments made lovingly by the hands of a woman full of good works and charity. And Luke does this. He does it not just to add some interesting details. He's making a point. And he is reminding us that Jesus Christ comes to us as our bridegroom. And his desire and love and hunger for us is total and complete, just like those lovers in the Song of Songs. And Christ comes to us not just to save part of us. He comes to save all of us and to save this entire world. Everything we are and everything that we do. Tabitha and all of her works are given new life. Through the hand of Peter, Christ saves Tabitha, and he saves the works of her hands as well. And the message today is that Jesus Christ, through the power of the resurrection, does not simply bring human beings into the kingdom. He brings the whole world into the kingdom. The entire created order, but even in ways that we don't fully understand, even the very works of our hands. When you love someone, you don't just love the person, you love everything about them. Who they are, what they look like, sound like, smell like, how they walk and talk and laugh, where they come from, what makes them who they are, their passions and interests and unique abilities and talents, their sense of humor, what they find interesting and valuable, you find interesting and valuable. And that is the sort of desire that Christ has for you. The church fathers speak of this as the holy eros that God has for his world. His love includes you and me and all that we are and all that we do. To God, each of us is a Tabitha. Each of us is like a gazelle from the Song of Songs. And our God loves us and loves everything about us. Even the garments and the tunics that we make, even the works of our hands are cherished and desired by the Lord who comes to us as a bridegroom. This is perhaps the most overlooked message about the power of the resurrection. Jesus Christ does not simply save us. He saves this whole world. Scripture does not say, "For God so loved the human being that he gave his only begotten Son." It says, "For God so loved the world." In Greek, the word is cosmos. "For God so loved the cosmos that he gave his only begotten Son." Everything that is good and honorable is brought into the kingdom, and we may not know how this happens, but the gospel message is that the resurrection brings forth a new creation. Christ brings new life to this world and to everything in it. Those garments made by Tabitha, they are not just nice things. Each piece of clothing becomes a preview of the kingdom. And this is true of you and of me. If you bake bread or make pastries, if you are a teacher or administrator, if you work in a factory or on a farm or in an office or in a laboratory, if you keep a home and raise children, your art, your programming, your projects and presentations, what we do, if we have eyes to see, what we do, the actual work we accomplish, anticipates the joy and the fellowship and the radiance of the coming kingdom. Through our work, no matter how unimportant it may seem from the outside, through our daily labors, a little bit of the kingdom is delivered into the here and now. Daily labor matters. Dignity is conferred on everything because God's love has that power. When your child or grandchild brings home a macaroni landscape, where do you put all that construction paper and glue and dried pasta? Refrigerator door. A place of honor and celebration. That note of encouragement and affection from your spouse, you don't throw it away. It becomes more priceless to you than the stone tablets from Moses. You keep it and return to it again and again. God is no different. Well, except that he is God. And as God, he is capable of love beyond anything that you and I could possibly imagine. And love that big notices everything. Everything you are, everything you do, everything you accomplish. the sound of your voice, the way that you walk and the way that you laugh. To God, everything that you do is a macaroni sculpture headed straight for the fridge, pinned high and pinned proudly by God because he cherishes you. Because of the resurrection, honest work, ordinary actions, they become sacramental. Brothers and sisters, around us, the world is shutting down. The novel coronavirus separates and it decimates. Millions are sick. Hundreds of thousands have died in just 4 months. And millions upon millions have lost their jobs. And all this brings a feeling of powerlessness. What can we do in the face of so much suffering, so much displacement, and so much fear and uncertainty? We are ordinary people. I can't invoke the Defense Production Act. You can't create a vaccine in your basement. I can't cover the payroll of vulnerable businesses. And you can't mass produce the personal protective equipment needed by doctors and nurses. But if this is powerlessness, then powerlessness is okay. Your power is not needed by God. What God desires and what Tabitha teaches is that those who are full of good works and charity, no matter how ordinary, they are those through whom Christ reveals the power of his resurrection. Your kindness to an elderly neighbor awakes desire within God. It awakens a desire within God to draw near to you and to open the kingdom. Your gift of food to a stranger is celebrated by angels. When you weep with those who have lost a loved one, Christ draws near and weeps with you for this new Lazarus. When you call a friend in quarantine, heaven rejoices. When you give to others, the saints embrace. When you offer yourself, no matter how small the gesture may seem, when you love even a little bit, hell trembles and the demons flee. The pandemic will be with us for a long while, grueling and grinding and heartbreaking. But offer to God in love the good works and charity that are needed by those around you, as Tabitha did. Smile with your whole person from behind that face mask. That mask is a barrier that blocks the virus, not a barrier that blocks kind words and human connection. Be gentle, be patient, and forgiving with everyone you meet, even if they plan to vote for the other guy. Through the dignity of ordinary action, through simple charity, whisper your affection for others just as the lovers do in the Song of Songs. You are God's gazelle. To Christ, you are Tabitha. To the Holy Spirit, you too are Dorcas. And through the simple tunics that you weave for the world through love and compassion, the resurrection will shine brightly, and the kingdom will bring new life. Amen. Christ is risen.